appears, grace and mercy and light is there also. The challenge with much of the church today is our focus is on the darkness and all that's wrong, and not on the heavenlies and who is right. Notice how I phrase that. And so I'm excited. God has showed me a lot of things to deal with in these years and this that we've gone through. And as I go and share, you'll see. But I want to read something just to contemplate on something here. It says, the Lord, Psalm 93, the Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord has clothed and girded himself with strength. Indeed, the world is firmly established, and it will not be moved. I said it will not be moved. Your throne is established from old. Yes, or from everlasting. Psalm 95 says, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us abound joyfully. Let me back up here. Come to the Lord. Oh, come and let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him, his presence with thanksgiving, and let us shout joyfully, amen, to him with psalms. I could go on and on and on. And I encourage everybody. Let me get this weight off this thing. I encourage everybody to change the way we see things. If we start reading just the Psalms every morning, and we start hearing about the majesty, the reign of God, the strength of God, the majesticness of God, then our life that day will be different. And I was sharing with Pastor Mac before we came here, God has totally delivered me and healed me from what's going on out there. Quite frankly, it doesn't affect me at all, and it doesn't really overly concern me. That might sound callous and cavalier, but it's truth. And what the Lord is saying is, I want my whole church not to be concerned about what's out there, but be concerned of who I am and what I am doing and what I'm requiring of the church. Amen? And so God wants something very powerful from us. I need to tell you, he's on the throne. I said he's on the throne. I know all that. Well, do we? We know that sitting here, but do we? Have we got that truth in our spirit, in our soul, that he's on the throne? And that nothing out there is going outside of him. And that's what God's after. He wants his people to look to him and stop being tossed to and fro from every wind of doctrine, from every situation that's out there. Stop letting darkness rule your life. Move on from the spirit of fear that the government has put on us all. Amen. And God has set us free. And so we're going to talk to you today about going forward. I have a brother I love dearly, been in our church for years. He's a wonderful man of God. But he had a question, a statement to me. It's been about a year and a half since all this stuff happened. And he'd come up to me and give me a big hug and all that. We love each other dearly. But he says, Pastor, God's still on the throne. And I used to say, oh, yeah, that's true, bro. Amen. And then the Lord stopped me. Do we have to start being careful what comes out of our mouths? Because it reveals the contents of our hearts. So the next time he said that, I said, stop. He said, what do you mean? I said, he's never left the throne. What do you mean he's still on the throne? Your belief system has left him, but he is immovable. He is all powerful. And this is the part that God wants us to start to get. So I'm going to talk to you today as long as we can. I got more notes to keep you here until tomorrow, but we'll go until about 12 and have lunch and then come back and we'll share a little bit more. And then I want to have just an open time as our pastor, just to open questions and share. And we haven't seen each other for a while. And as I said to Mac, that length of time will not be anymore. We're all out and around, moving around and that type of thing. Pastor Karen sends her love. We were on our way up here yesterday, and she just didn't feel good. And with my wife's heart situation, we don't play with that. So I turned around and went back home, and she just sends her love and tells you she loves you. And disappointed she couldn't be here, but it's better that she rests. Amen. Vision building and leadership development is what I'm going to talk to you about today. And everybody is a leader in the body of Christ. Everybody is a minister. Ephesians says, for the fivefold ministry, which I'm a part of, that we are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That doesn't mean with Pastor Mac and I, we're part of the fivefold ministry. He's an ascension gift, I am, but that doesn't mean we lord over the people. And we've got to change the perception of what leadership is. God says, for the apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, etc., to come and to build the church, build the ministry, edify the ministry. So if I'm edifying the ministry, then who is the ministry? Am I the ministry? That's what the church teaches you. It's wrong. I'm a part of a gifting to the church, but who is the ministry? The ministry is you. Have you thought of yourself about being a minister? Called of God, separated unto his glory. And the problem is the church, we don't have that concept. And hang on with me, I'm just kind of feeling my way through here. And because I want us to understand, how many of you really realize that Benny Hinn, or all the big, Rodney Howard, and all the big names of the supposed ministry who aren't any bigger in God's eyes than you are? Amen? None of them have more power in Holy Ghost than you do. None of them. Well, maybe I should rephrase that. You have as much as they have, and they have as much as you have. And so this is something that I really, really want us to start capturing in our spirit and our soul. Because I've come here today to see you empowered. I said, God, what's wrong with the church today? We have good church services, and we feel good about ourselves and get goose pimples and wonderful church services, and we might even have God show up once in a while. And we think we've got it. And I said, God, where is the church? He says, my church loves me, but they don't have any more power. Or should we rephrase that? They don't recognize the power that's inside them and edifies it and brings forth the power that it can flow outside of them. You see, what we've learned to do is we learn to have our own little relationship with Jesus. And it's all good inside this temple. But God didn't save you to keep your spirituality inside you. He saved you to have rivers of living water flowing out of you. That wherever you go, I prayed this, and God, and I was talking to Mac, I might talk about it later, but I mean, God totally healed me and delivered me 7 months ago, totally. And I was not physically in a good shape because of COVID. And God wants us to understand that his power and his might is available to every one of us. And he wants his church to wake up. You know, I'm not preaching. I'm going to just share with you today. Well, I might get preaching later, but I don't know. So Scripture encourages His disciples and each church body to be activated, move beyond, press forward to having something to reach for and obtain a desired purpose. God has every one of us on this earth for a reason. You were not created by happenstance. And I've preached this before, but it's part of what I like to share. So you start having value in who you are. You are not an accident. You're not here without purpose. You're not wandering the earth like a foreigner. You're here for a reason. And God actually picked, because I have a lot of Christians, well, you don't know my parents and my lifestyle and all this stuff. You don't know what I've been through. I don't, but God does. Now, here's the truth, and I say this as we go forward here. God picked your parents. Good, bad, or indifferent, God picked your parents to do what they got to do. We don't have to go into all that. To plant a seed, who planted the seed in your mother's womb? God did. You're not here by accident. And you were birthed through the canal of your mother with purpose. You're here for a reason, every one of us. And that's what God wants us to start understanding. We are the sum total of our lives. Now, some of us didn't have such a good childhood. I don't want to raise hands. I don't want to bring it all up. You might not have had. You might have been abused. All kinds of horrible things might have happened to you. We've had chaotic things happen to us. But I'm here to say to you, as we talk about this and moving forward, is that we are the product of what God had through all our experiences in your life. If you've been through a catastrophic experience, and I'm talking about the vile things you could ever go through, God is taking that and making it who you are today. Without the trauma that my wife and I went through when we first went to ministries, we wouldn't be sitting here talking to you today, because I would never have had the tenacity, the faith, nor the belief, nor the strong purpose to press in if I didn't understand that I'm here for a reason. And when that reason's up, I'm up out of here. Amen. And that's not going to be for a while, trust me. So everything that God created and gave birth to has purpose and a reason for being. Everything. Good, bad, ugly, darkness. Nothing was created that wasn't created by Him. Are you with me? Salvation, the cross, is not plan B. Never was. It's all in His plan. Jesus was crucified before foundations of the earth. So the plan that we're all looking at right now is God's ultimate plan. Well, how come all the evil? Don't look at the evil. Look at God. Look at good. Look at power. Look at you have victory. Look at you have purpose. You're here for a reason. I know what my purpose. I know I'm here for a reason. So I can't be bothered by wasting my time with all that junk out there. Well, look, you're a minister. You're doing, no, I'm talking about the body of Christ. We can no longer be sidelined, wasting our time, fearful of all that junk everybody's putting on you. We got to shake it off and move on. And hopefully, before tomorrow morning we leave here, we're going to see something happen. If an individual or church body, and I want to say something now, I'm going to be sharing some things. I'm mainly talking to a church body, but everything I'm going to share with you can be applied to a personal life, because you are part of the body, right? So anything applies to the body applies to you. And so everything that God created and gave birth to has purpose and reason for being. And if an individual or church body does not know or understand their purpose, then there is no incentive, motivation, or pressure to move forward. That's why we have thousands of churches existing going nowhere in America. Now people say, well, when's God going to bring revival? Folks, my eyes have been opened. There is revival going all around this nation and no one's seeing it. I'm telling you, God is moving. I mean, I'm not just talking, you know, make you feel goose pimples and all that stuff. I'm talking about bona fide power move of heaven is happening upon this earth. I work with a pastor in South Africa, in Kenya, Pastor David. He's got bona fide revival going on in his community right now. They got famine. Their grain, because of the war, has been cut off. He has an orphanage that's taking care of 16 children, three of his own. So it's 19 children. He says, Pastor Al, I got revival going on. His focus is not what is not. It's not what God is doing. In case you want to know the severity of what he deals with, is that he said to me one time, our people come to church, we don't know if they're going to make it home or not. Because of their religious situation there with Islam, they could be killed on the way home, and that has happened, or on the way to church. We're not at that point yet. And so they have purpose. We have purpose. And if we don't understand our purpose, we have no motivation to move forward in the kingdom. Now, what does that mean? If I have no motivation to move forward, then I have no motivation to pay the cost and the price to be a disciple. You want me to go home now, or is this all right? Okay. There can be, now here again, there can be no vision without understanding one's purpose. If you don't know why you're here, then you cannot have a vision of where you're going. Because vision, which I'll talk about a little bit, is nothing else but a roadmap designed to fulfill God's purpose. Is that all right? And so vision is derived out of purpose. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. The key to that verse is no vision, no discipline. And that was in New American Standard. King James reads it this way. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. New Living Translation says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. Why is the church in the condition it is? And I'm talking about church. I'm talking about the church. Proverbs 28:19, the Message Bible. I don't use Message very often, but once in a while it says what I want it to say. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. So if we can't see God's hand in what's going on in our culture today, then we're going to stumble all over ourselves. We're going to go from every wind of doctrine. One day we're going to be up, next day we're going to be down. I'm going to get up and what's going to happen now? What's going to happen next? Or turn the news on, or what's going on now? It doesn't make a difference. It will affect us, yes. Do we have to adjust? Yes. I don't stick my head in the sand. I realize what the price of gas is. I realize all that stuff, but it's not going to get inside me. Because my God, now I don't know if anybody, some of you got gray hair. I grew up in a time when I didn't know whether we were going to have gas. We had double unemployment, double percentage, double inflation, and no gas. And the church that we belong to was not inundated with what we are today because back there then, we had a different level of understanding of God and who he is. We didn't have all this indoctrination that we've been going through the last 20 years where the culture made us doubt our God. I got to fit in so I can make it. I don't fit anywhere so I can make it. I'm going to make it. I don't fit anywhere. That sounds braggadocious. It's truth. And you're going to hear a lot of this from me today. And so without a vision, we're not going anywhere. Where there is no vision, I'm going to repeat myself a lot because I'm doing it on purpose. Where there is no vision, revelation and dream is like a rudderless ship. Have you ever pitched a ship with no rudder? Get it out in the middle of the ocean, where's that going to go? Cut the power off, and then where are you going to go? So now I have no rudder, and I have no power. Boy, it sounds like what I see a lot of today. Aimless Christians going around questioning everything with no power. Then we come to church, feel good for a couple hours, and go home back into our little room and our scarce life. Because, my God, don't mention Jesus to anybody because they'll persecute you or cancel you or watch your language because you can't woke anybody. I don't watch my language. I call it what it is. Sin is sin. God is God. Light is light and dark is dark. Live with it. But the church isn't there anymore. We've got to change everything to fit what they're producing out there. God said, I did not send you there to fit that. I sent you there to change that. Is that, you understand what I'm saying? So we are driven by the words of the current culture, the church. We want to know why thousands of pastors are leaving the pulpit. Someone told me like 80,000 churches have closed since COVID started. 80,000. Instead of growing during hard times, is decreased. Why? They don't. The church has lost its purpose. Why are you here? To survive. Not in the Bible. I hear people and I correct people. Okay, I'm a survivor. No, you're not. That's unscriptural. A Christian cannot be a survivor. Anybody find survivor in the Bible that describes a Christian? You can't do it. Trust me, I've looked. But what I do find is that I'm a what? And a conqueror. I'm a son of God. I've not been given the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Sound mind means uncontrollable by the outside culture. So the key to understanding vision is to realize that it always emanates from purpose. Now, I'm doing this because I had a whole different thing planned for you, and God said, no, I want you to do this. And some of it would have been rehashed because I've been here for quite a while. I don't know if you know that or not. But God says, no, I'm going to give you something I want you to share because I need this church. Listen to me. God needs this church to become activated. Amen? God is the author of vision, and it is his nature to be purposeful in everything he does. And so I said, if everything that God does has to be purposeful, and I'm in the image of God, then could I conclude that everything I do should be something purposeful for the kingdom of God? So the leadership of any church fellowship collectively and in one accord, which is a key in the scriptures, must have a revelation and understanding of God's purpose for birthing their fellowship. So the leadership of any church fellowship collectively and in one accord, which means one mind, must have revelation and understanding of God's purpose for birthing the fellowship. What is God's purpose for developing this fellowship? The question you need to ask the Lord. Or maybe we'll define it before we leave here today. Amen? God is God, and God is a God of action based on purpose. So God is actually, God's always, I don't know if you know that or not, but God's always moving. God was always doing something. I heard a preacher say the other day, he says, when God's doing something, he's doing something. When God isn't doing something, he's doing something. Think about that. When God's not doing anything in our eyes, he's doing something. See, a lot of times in our lives, we think God is silent, and God, what God is doing is that you might not think he's doing anything, but inside he's doing something. Like maybe you had a problem come up this week, and it really bothers you. And so we focus on the problem instead of reason, why do I have the problem? Because you see, if I have a problem, God's after to change me to the likeness of Christ. So everything happens in my life is to change me to the likeness of Christ. That means everything that happens, I can praise God in. Psalms 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. Churches go from generation to generation. I don't know if you know that. When you get to the vintage that I am, and by the grace of God, we're full of power and life, but I walk this earth enough now where even in our church, I've seen generations. The first generation, then their children, and then their children, and then the grandchildren come, and then the great-grandchildren come. And the vision that was started in our house was not meant for the first generation. It was meant for the generation after the generation after the generation. Purpose does not change. Vision might, but purpose does not change. Isaiah 14:24 Amplified puts it this way. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely I have thought and planned, so shall it come to pass as I have purposed, so it stand. When God establishes something, it stands. Do you know how many people have written this place off? How old is this church now? 30 years? It's got to be. 45 years? Huh? 97? Okay. And so nothing, God 27 years ago has not changed his purpose for this house. The challenge is that the new people come and are taught the purpose. After 9/11, churches were filled. I don't know if you know that or not. I mean, filled after 9/11. 2 weeks later, back to normal. Why was it? Because they found religion in these churches. They didn't find Christ. They found people who love God, but are not committed to God. And so they left. So how do we get them back? Church, I'm going to tell you something. When we find why we're here, and embrace it, which might cost you something. I'm not going to sit up and tell you it won't, because it will. But every cost will be worth it, because it will be one step further to heaven. Is that all right? God created everything to fulfill his purpose, including you as a leader in this church fellowship. This church is not here by accident. Can y'all hand that? And God's not sitting here. Now, can I be blunt with you? And you still love me? God's not sitting here waiting for this church to die, even though some people are. God's looking for this church because I created it for a purpose and I want to bring life. How many of you realize that God wants to bring power and life? He wants to breathe in this place. So they're standing out in line. You have to have a cop out there in a row just to direct traffic in here. Yeah, but we've lost the vision. You say that, oh, yeah, y'all, I hear that all the time. Well, how come we don't believe it? Because we don't understand God's purpose. What is the purpose of this fellowship? To have good church services? It might be. But that's a pretty shallow point of view. Because if we just have church services and we feel good when we go home, then what's the church about? You and your feelings, not purpose of what God sent you here. Now, that's tough. Can you hang in with me? I came here with a mission today because God wants this place to come alive. He's about ready to bring his power here and his breath and his fire and his rain and his river. But he's got to have somebody who wants to float in it, even though it costs them their life. Scripture declares that you were in him before the foundation of the world. Now, I've preached this here before, but you've got to understand, you were in Christ before the world was formed. That's not me. That's Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I'm tempted to tear all this apart, but I don't have time. But I will read this again. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who might and maybe will bless us. Because I'm coming to church for a blessing. No. Then you don't know who you are in Christ. If you're coming to church to get a blessing, you don't know who you are in Christ. Is that all right? I warned Pastor Mike back. I'm come here with fire today because I believe something's going to happen if you can hang in there with us. So let me read this the right way. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every, what don't we understand about every, spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Well, that does all our past garbage that keeps us bound. Amen? Having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, predestined, we're not going to get into all that because that's a deep well. But I'm here just to say our predestined, here's our predestination. I am predestined for whatever God put me on this earth for. Are you with me? And the point of my accepting predestination is accepting Christ and becoming a born-again Christian. Once I did that, I now walk in his predestinated life. Now I'm predestined to fulfill his purpose. Without Christ, I'm not predestined for anything. But with Christ and the power of who? Holy Ghost. I am now destined to walk the purpose. Now the problem is with that is that a lot of people have in their mind what that means. That means no problems. God's going to bless me. I'm never going to hurt. I'm never going to happen. How many of y'all understand, and you, some of you have been around for a while, pain is the greatest teacher of God's will and faith. The greater the pain sometimes, the greater the revelation of who God is. We got to embrace pain that let it have its perfect work. Well, if someone insults you, amen, embrace it. Because you got insulted, it means offense is on you. And God didn't give you a spirit of offense. Are you all right? I can quit any time. Okay. God plans and purpose for you and this church fellowship to accomplish all that he ordained and set forth when he established his church. God has not changed his plans. Many people have come and gone. Many people are hanging on by the thread of their fingernails right now. Oh, I'm hanging on. I hope something changes. Well, stop putting your hope in change and put your hope in Christ and the Holy Ghost. No matter what size your church is, I always go back to this. I know a man who walked the earth who had only 12 people who believed in him. 12. And one of them betrayed him. And the world's turned upside down by the Messiah, who knew who he was, and he was sent here for a purpose, even to the degradation of the cross. He was sent here. And so this is what God wants. He wants to connect you with something meaningful. When we come here tomorrow morning, don't just come to church service. Come here with a purpose. What are one of our main purposes? Our main purpose is to bless him. Lamar Boschman, he used to travel all around with him. We've done like 5 mission trips with him. I don't know if you know Lamar Boschman. He's an international worship leader. Awesome man of God. And that's the big thing is we go to these conferences, these worship conferences, and he would declare, worship is not about you. We've not come here to make you feel good and sing in songs. Worship is only about one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing. Worship is about God. Well, I don't know if I like the worship songs. Well, it's not about you and what you like and you don't like. I don't know about you, but is this too tough? Are you all right? I remember in Africa, I saw, you know, I've studied revival. And one time I saw a DVD about a revival going on in Africa. And boy, what an awesome worship team they had, man. We had one guy playing a metal gear that he got off a car. Had another guy had one pole with a string on it, pulling it. Another one on a tin can, hitting it. No amplifying system whatsoever. And they worshiped God in spirit and truth, and the power fell. Why? They knew why they were there. And it wasn't about their instruments. It was about their heart giving it to Christ. Amen? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 10, New American Standard says, "And I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves." And I want to read that again because it's a powerful scripture if you can tear it apart. I have seen the task which God, say God, has given the sons of men, who are you and me, which to occupy themselves. What occupies our time? Is it what God's called us to? Well, I got to earn a living. Don't worry about that. Just do your good thing, doing your job, and be who you are. But our focus is always to what? Build the kingdom. How many of you have secular jobs? You wouldn't dare raise your hand. Yeah, okay, here we go. Okay? And I tell people, now please don't take offense to this, but I tell people, you don't have, if you're a Christian, you don't have a secular job. Where you work is your sphere of influence. God has you working at that place because he wants his kingdom to be manifest in that place, not to give you a paycheck, even though paychecks are nice. Are you following what I'm saying? I hope you're catching my gist here today, because the whole focus, we got to stop wandering around this wilderness that the culture has created for us, and the church culture, because the church culture that we have lived in has created much of the problems we're in now. Why? It's because when we get someone saved, the first thing we want to do is disciple them. How many of you understand that? Okay, disciple them to what? Bring them in the church and disciple them. Get them in programs. Get them involved. Get their commitment. Get them tithing, and they'll all be all right. Until they have a problem they don't like, and they go find someone else to go. Why is that? Because it's wrong. Discipleship is not about joining a church. Even though joining a church will be about that, and it will be much more committed and much more fruitful, if you listen to what I'm going to say, we need to stop discipling people to church and start discipling them to Christ. If they're discipled to Christ, then I, as a pastor, don't have to worry about them coming to my church, because if they're in Christ, following the Holy Ghost, they're going to come in their church, and they're going to pay whatever they price to see this church explode, amen, or do what God wants it to do. Not everything has to explode. All right, do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so these are areas that God is after. How many of us were discipled to a church? I'll raise my hand. I got saved, got involved in church, and pretty soon my church became my identity, and pretty soon who I was. I said, where do you go to church? And so I start telling them where my identity is in XYZ church, not important which one it was. And then God said, I need to move you on, so I'm going to move you to another church. Wow, I got to change who I am now because I'm going to another church? Oh, that church is better, better worship, better preaching. So I can now like somebody else until I don't like them? Or am I disciple to Jesus? So no matter where he sends me, I will abode and be a glory to him. Why? Because I know my purpose. My purpose is not to fulfill a church. My purpose is to become like Jesus and let Christ flow out of me no matter where I go. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if we have that mindset going to church, then people won't be leaving churches over silly, stupid stuff. And we have them all over the realm, people all around leaving. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God creates and births everything with a divine purpose or a reason and requires his people to activate themselves to accomplish his task and will. Well, I'm waiting for leading of the Holy Ghost. I'm waiting to be empowered. I'm waiting for the unction of Holy Ghost to make me do something in the church. Come on, I've been around this thing too long. I've been doing this thing over 50 years, so I've seen it all. That's not creating a church activated in Christ. It's creating a bunch of people who want their own way, and if they don't get their own way, they'll go down the street. It says God creates and births everything with a divine purpose and reason, and requires his people to activate themselves to accomplish his task and will. His task. How many of you know that this is not your church? It's not. You are not his people. I hope that doesn't break anybody's. You're not Pastor Mac's people. I'm sorry. You're not. If you are, you're in trouble. But we hear that, but how many of us actually believe that? Christ wants to empower the church. And I make a lot of pastors nervous. They say, well, you're telling them not to go to an old church. No, I'm not saying that. The Bible says do not forsake the assembly of the brethren. So if I'm discipled in Christ and I believe the scriptures, then I won't stay out of church because I don't like something. I'll be in church to make a difference and affect something. Are we all right with that? Okay. No tomatoes yet. Okay. So let us examine the subject of purpose in its original intent and meaning. Now, this might sound really elementary, and you probably heard it 1,000 times, but if we don't know who we are and what we're doing, we don't know the purpose we're on this earth. How many of you know that suicide rate amongst teenagers are a little high right now? How many know how many people are dying of fentanyl? How many know people are dropping out of schools, kids going wild? violence all over the world. Why do you think this is happening? Because the culture and governments have robbed our people with divine purpose. And so they're acting out their fleshly, humanistic tendencies of a person with no restriction, no discipline, no nothing. Whatever feels good does it. And that's the reason, that's why I'm on this, because once this church understands why God put you here, then you'll be willing to pay the price to bring forth a revival and see, God, I don't know about you, but I would love, and I say things in River Valley, got the same challenge in River Valley, the church I founded, I'm not pastor anymore, but same thing. But how many of you really would love, outside of being upset because you might not be able to sit in the same place every Sunday? You believe me, people leave churches because someone took their seat. Trust me. That this place was so on fire for God, people would be driving down the road and say, oh, I got to go to that place right now, and just come in here and say, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what's going on. Hit the altar and get saved. Power of God. Does that really happen? Yeah, it happened. Baltimore, the revival in Baltimore. Rock Church in Baltimore, there was a truck driver going down the highway, full speed. And Rock Church used to sit on top of a hill. Well, you're still there, but it sits on top of a hill. The power of God was such a drive during that revival they had there that trucker stopped his truck, climbed a hill, came into church, and fell at the altar and got saved. Oh, that doesn't happen today. Yeah, it doesn't happen because we don't believe it. Why? Because God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Does God want revival? He's never changed. Of course he wants revival. All right? So let's take a look at it. Purpose. Purpose is what the Creator had in mind upon creating something. So when God made you, in your DNA, He had something in mind. You're not an accident. You're very important to God. Amen? The original intent of the creation is something or someone. The original intent. What was the original intent of this church being created? What was the intent? Why did God make this place? Well, we had a bunch of people come here and we formed the church. No. This church is not here because of any person. This church is here because God created it. The original reason for an existence, that's purpose of something. Right? Giving, for example, you know, how many of you are driving a car? You all drive a car, right? What's the purpose of a car? So if you have no keys and you get in the car and you can't start it, has that car still got purpose to you? Or has it lost its purpose? If I'm holding this mic and I shut this mic off and it no longer works, this mic is worthless to us. Why? Why? Because it's not working. No, it's lost its purpose. If my stereo doesn't work anymore and I can't fix it, I don't leave it sitting around my house. Why? Because it's lost its purpose. I can take you through every hours of examples of things that happen in our life that no longer happen because that thing has lost its purpose. Purpose is a completion or the end as a reason or existence. It's a reason I'm here. Particular will or desire of the Creator to cause an operation to reach a needed result fulfilled with expectation and a source of fulfilling of an objective. And so why are we sitting here this morning? Well, Pastor wanted me to be here. Well, amen. Thank you for coming. But why are you really here? I'm foolish enough to walk the gospel long enough. I'm not even here because God sent you here. God has you here for a reason. God wants to do something inside of your life and my life. And so we're here for a reason. God's purpose for creation of mankind and you, amen, are the reason that you exist. In 2021, my wife lost her brother. 2 months later, I lost my sister. And you take a look at these things, and my sister particularly, my sister was having just a terrible time. She was in her 80s, fearful of what's all going around. And I could see it. She started, because her husband had passed a year prior to that, she started to lose her reason for being. Walk with me now. And so because she lost her reason for being, her purpose, the external chaos of the world infected her. Are you walking with me? She got COVID. 8 days later, she was dead. Active woman, COVID, 8 days later, dead. You got to find a reason to praise God. One of the things God healed me several months ago was the loss, the emptiness of losing her. And just recently, with all that's going on, here's what the Lord kind of showed me. He says, son, do you know the torment your sister would be in if she's still on the earth right now? Because it's far worse now than it was 2 years ago. And peace just settled in my spirit. Her purpose was up and she went home at the right time because she would be in torment right now. Does that make sense to you? If we lose our purpose, then that out there will start to control us. Churches are making adjustments of this woke society because they have no purpose. Their purpose is to bow to Baal. I don't know about you, but I'm going to use a word I don't use it very often. I ain't bowing to Baal. A very close friend of mine called Elijah said in Mount Carmel, he says, how long will you people of God be caught between two opinions? How long? If it's Baal, serve him. But if it's God, serve him. And I'm here to tell you this move of God, please hear me, that division is coming. And COVID started it. Because there are people who don't go to church right now, going to church out of habit. They were going to church out of habit. Oh, my parents told me I had to go to church every week, so I go to church. So I went to church out of habit. Are you with me? COVID came, the habit broke. And no longer do we see them. So were they serving church themselves? Or do they have purpose in God? All things begin, originate with purpose. All things. Predestined and foreknown. And they end with purpose. Desire results. So when you get ready to go home and meet Jesus, will you hear the infamous words the apostle heard? I'm trying to change my page, my notes, and it's not working. And that's the point, is that purpose, when we get there, we predestined, but we're also purposed to end something, accomplish something. I don't know about you, but we throw this phrase around pretty flippantly. But I want to hear it out of my master's mouth when I go home. Well done.